Thank you, my brother. Appreciate that very much. We're going to look at Proverbs 25, verse 28. Okay, good job. Good job. Dismiss the kids. Some of you folks got to stay. Okay. My little children, these things I write unto you. John said that. Good to have you this evening, and I too thank you for your generosity in giving. She says hello. She's in Florida. She was scheduled to fly up on Thursday. Some of you may have known that. Several years ago, routine surgery went bad. She was going to have her gallbladder removed. In the process, they cut her main artery coming off her heart, her aorta, and they opened her up 18 and a half inches and said she may never, how would you like to hear the doctor said I made an awful mistake, and she may never recover. I said, well, she was dying when she went in, right? He said, yep, she was as good as dead if something didn't take place. And I said, well, I said, she living now? He said, yeah. I said, you need to forgive yourself and get over it. Go save someone else. And so I could be a rich man, but he said, seek not to be rich. seek not to be rich. And so, you know, God can take care of us. It did not catch him off guard. God knew all about it. And he said, in everything, give thanks. I got to know him better, and she gets to know him better. And she's been now 10 years, that was since the first surgery, but it was then 5 years later she had another surgery, and she had a surgery in March, this past March. And so I have no clue. That's not my problem. God can do a far better job with that than I can. But her desire was to be here today, and she's in Florida praying for us right now. And I want to thank you again. We were talking about our ministry 19 years now. I've been preaching the gospel. I've been preaching that shortly after I got saved, 1987, so nearly 30 years now. Know him better now than I knew him when I first met the Lord. I met the Lord like some of you. Mine was not like the Apostle Paul. I know Paul, he was a blasphemer. He is a persecutor. He was a devout enemy of the Lord. We know that, Saul. And then he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and he experienced a great change in his life. So change begins by the new birth. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You become a new creature. When God becomes your Father, Jesus not only your Savior, but your friend, you can walk with the Creator and have your heart burn within as he reveals himself to you. But as I say, I know him better now than I knew him when I first got started. And so thank you for your support. That's since I got in the ministry and started going around and sharing the gospel with folks, and how they can get closer to God, and how you can get to know God better, and you can get as close to God as you want to. Most people are content where they are in their walk with God, but maybe you folks are different. I like the fact that we're going to experience revival. Revival is for God's people. Amen. And I'm going to do everything I can to get you to have a desire to walk with God. Amen. Desire to know him better. And folks, you're not that good. We're not that good. We all got some improvement. And so we're going to talk about that. So let me give you quickly, before I get into the Proverbs 25, 28, he that hath no rule, that's the Christian. Are you a Christian? If you're not a Christian, then we need to talk. If you've never experienced new birth, we need to talk. No chastening going on. We need to talk, because you're not that good. As a Christian, you're not that good. No chastening going on. We need to talk. For whom the Lord loveth, Hebrews 12:6. This is not Normanism. You see, this is his word. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He's going to get your attention. And now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Now, folks, you're going to experience that tonight. Going to be grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Now, if you will respond to his mercy, see, his mercy is going to be extended to you this evening. And if I were you, I would respond to it. I would respond to that tugging on the heart. Providential proof, his mercy's been extended to his people. Now you can be a rebel if you want to. And many are content that way. But I'm telling you, I don't like the woodshed. I don't like his chastening hand. I ought to be further along in my walk with him than I was when I met him nearly 30 years ago. Christ never intended you to sin, period. That always goes over well, don't it? In other words, stop your complaining. He never intended you to complain, period.
Amen.
Some of you don't believe that. Well, did he ever tell you something you could not do?
No.
You folks are not convinced at all. Oh, man, you. And that, so, get to know him. He never intended you to complain. 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel said to Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice. We have this obedience thing all fouled up. We think obedience is a feeling. Folks, obedience is a decision. It don't take decades to get that. Look in the mirror. You don't have a decade to get it. That's right. Have you looked in the mirror lately? Hey, folks, you don't have a decade to get in. We've deceived ourselves for years, and young people, you don't have a decade to get it either. You know why? Have no clue, do you? I'll share it with you. Jesus coming again. Did you know Christ could come back today? You say, I did not know. Well, now you know. Yeah, there will be a Christian here when he comes. I don't know when, could be today. So you don't have a decade to get on board. You don't have a decade to obey him. It's a decision, and so we're going to talk about that. We've been deceived for years. And so what happened to you, Norman? What happened to you? Let me share you what happened to me. It was November 22nd, 87, at the age of 30. I saw myself a sinner. My daughter invited me to church. I've only been in church one time in my life. I was 15 years old. The second time in church, my daddy died of cancer, 72. I was grieved, came to church. Preacher said, there's somebody out there looking for a friend. Are you looking for a friend? Well, he said, you've lost your dad, you've lost your son or daughter. You're grieving in the service tonight. I can take the Bible and show you someone who will never leave you. He will always be there for you. Folks, I never got over that. That was a long time ago. Hebrews 13:5, Jesus Christ said, I will never leave Norman. He says, not in the book. You see, you don't know him. Most of God's people, a majority of God's people know Christ like they know the Queen of England. Which is revival, right? Most of God's people know Christ like the Queen of England. They get saved. They go about doing their own thing. They think about Christ every once in a while and have the idea that will satisfy Christ. He ought not be treated that way. I'm telling you, folks, he ought not be treated that way. He did not save you merely to get you out of hell. See, now we're learning. This don't take decades to get if you're listening. Oh, this take decades. No, it don't take decades. When I got saved, November 22nd, 1987, at the age of 30, I had an eighth grade education making straight S through school. I made an F in art, guys. But God gave me the ability to draw anything I look at. My mother was an alcoholic. Dad said, I'm not going to live with one. And folks, did you know I had no choice in the family in which I was born? That was the sovereign act of God. Did you know God handpicked my parents? I did not have a problem. Yeah, God did that. Did God make his first mistake? All right, live like it. Choices, decisions. Yes, God can use all that. I don't know where you come from. You're looking at somebody who could not even pronounce the word therefore at age 30. He said, no one can be that dumb. Look at me. That's right, that's right. I'm as dumb as they come. I was in a church here a couple of weeks, maybe a month or so ago, and I said, I can't dumb this down any dumber. Boy, that went over well. Pastor got up and he said, Brother Stevens, you can't make it any plainer. Ain't that what I said? Ain't that what I said? I said that's what I said. Now, folks, that's all I knew. I learned a new word, excellent. Excellent. Hey, folks, I'm not that smart. I'm not that good. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraid not, it shall be given him. But he said, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. That is, simply take God at his word. Act as if what God said is true. He said, you ask. John 14:14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, that don't take a decade to get.
Amen.
Right? And there will be a few that ask. You're not that smart. You see what I'm saying? So we've deceived ourselves for years, for decades. And we're not that smart. I said, God, what has made the difference in my life? You know, he don't have his favorite. I said, what's made the difference in my life? Eighth grade education, making straight F's through school. I can't even pronounce the word therefore. But you know, that was not needed in order to receive Christ as my personal Savior. The preacher said, John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I said, all I have to do is believe on Christ as the one who bore my sin, who died in my place, who was buried, whom God resurrected from the dead. Yep. Well, I did not know. I did not know. Well, it didn't take me a decade to get it. Romans 5:8, that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so what happened that day? I was grieved over my daddy's death. And I wanted a friend. You know what? I wanted a friend so bad. And then I got Hebrews 13:5. Jesus said, son, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Then he gave me another one, Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong. What does that mean? I don't have time to go into it. You need to find out what it means, right? Do you know him? But do you know him? How well do you know him? Can he be trusted? Is he fair? Is he just? What does he hate? Folks, he hates wickedness. What does the Son of God love? He loves righteousness. Do you know him? How well do you know him? Are you content where you are in your spiritual growth? Most of God's people choose to live the yo-yo Christianity. Some of God's people like the buffet Christianity. Pick and choose. You see, this is not hidden, folks. You might not. I had some said, oh, we're so happy you're here. I said, that may change. That may change. Now, does anybody, let's go, we're still getting to know each other. See, I don't want you folks to turn me off like a bad TV program. God never intended you to sin, period. 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. He said, I wrote that you would choose not to sin. You don't have to complain. If you do, don't blame it on your wife. Don't blame it on your circumstances. Don't blame it on the 14 inches of snow. No, you have to say, I'm guilty. I did it. Did you know, where is Christ? Hey, well, you know, is Christ in the room? Well, Christ is in the room, not in the flesh. You don't see him, do you? If you see him, we got to talk, okay? No man has seen God at any time. So he's not in the flesh in this room, but Jesus Christ is as much in the room as if he were in the flesh. That's right. Matthew 18, 20, two or three, okay, we call all five. Two or three are gathered together in his name. He said, folks, wake up. I am in the midst of my people. Amen. Now, I don't know how he does it. I'm not that smart. I don't need to know how he does it. I just need to act as if what God said is true. He said, son, I'm in the midst of my people. I'm in the room.
Right.
It's true. Amen. Now you can understand I can't dumb it down any dumber how it went down. Now, folks, I could stay there or I could grow. I can't make it any plainer. I just used this as an illustration. That was the best I knew. With my vocabulary, my education, and what I knew, I thought a planer is something you used on wood. Now you can't make it any plainer. And so it don't take decades to grasp what I'm sharing with you tonight. Here's someone, can't even pronounce the word therefore, never read a book before in my life, and God called me to preach. My wife said, you can't read. I said, I did not know that was the prerequisite. I just know that I went forward and I said, look at me. God called me to preach. Pastor said, Norm, yeah, I've been watching you. You're a little squirrely. I was his Mustang. That's what he called me. He called me his Mustang. Yeah, you know what a Mustang is, don't you? Pretty wild, ain't it? Well, he kind of got me. He said, but I'm going to pour. He poured 5 years into me, the next 5 years. We have a problem with discipleship. Yeah, he's put next 5 years getting me to know God better, what Christ did. And he said, you never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. And I said, well, I don't know what that is. You don't? I did not know. I just got saved. I said, is it in this book? He said, yes. I said, will you show me? I said, if it's in the book, I'll do it. Folks, I made that decision years ago. I didn't know a lot. I did not know very much at all. Psalm 32, verse 8, I did not know that. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I did not know that. I just told God, if it's in the book, I'd do it. That was a decision. Now I'm confronted with truth. Matthew 28:18-20, and Jesus came and spake, and saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with ye, even in Walmart. Don't look. You look at me kind of strange. You know why? Because you don't know him. You like him, you appreciate him, but maybe you have a problem. You don't love him. Mm-hmm. Did you know Joshua 9, have not commanded thee to be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Hey, that's Delta Airlines too. That's right. Many of God's people don't live in that reality. They choose to live a different sort of life. Well, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken Delta. Folks, he's at Delta too. You can't do in private what you think will not be seen in public eye and not rob you of God's blessing, God's power. Folks, you've been blessed just by being in the United States. And we kind of take that as God's blessing. How about going to third world country? Travel to Haiti with me and see how blessed you are. Make you straighten up and fly right, I tell you what. But anyway, we're not talking about all that. That's another whole thing, trying to get you to know God better. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in Norman. Now, is that just religious talk, or does the Apostle Paul that Christ literally indwells you? If Christ indwells you, folks, and he does, I'm telling you, his presence can be real to you. You can walk in the presence of Jesus Christ every day. The Son of God can open to you his word as surely as he did to his disciples some 2,000 years ago. Amen. How do you get to know God? Does anybody know my favorite color? Now, you don't guess, but you've spent time with me in my presence, and you were actually listening, and you know my color without guessing. Does anybody know that? 110, I spent time with you, I know. Well, I've learned some things. My favorite color is green. All right, what did you hear? Let's do Family Feud. Y'all seen Family Feud? Feud, okay. You're getting to know me. If you don't get to know me, you're going to turn me off. I ain't even got started yet, okay? This side, one family. This another family. We got 10 categories up here. 10, number one. What was the number one after, what would you think would be the number one spot what people heard when I said my favorite color is green? Don't be bashful. Tell it, yell it out.
Who?
Growth. Well, that was about number five. Growth. Green grass. You know what I'm saying? That's what did you hear? What did you hear? My favorite color is green. Money. Money number one. Money, you got it. Number one, money. Now, folks, number two, John Deere tractor. Glory. Did you get it, John Deere tractor? Did anybody know John Deere tractor? See, you ought to be in the farming community. They hear John Deere tractor. New York Jets. Okay, Green Bay Packers. Well, you got to get the Wisconsin, man. Okay, number three, Green Bay Packers. Number four, New York Jets. Number five, growth. And it goes on like that there. So then I went to a little 9-year-old boy and I said, son, what'd you hear? Now, what do you think he heard? Green. He was the only one that got it. That's right. Now, if you don't take me like a 9-year-old, you will write me off. The only reason for me to inhale and exhale is that I might walk with God. That was a decision I made years ago. Mark 8:34, whosoever will decide to walk with me by my side, as my friend, as my companion, it's a life of self-denial, and you've got to die. John 12:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But Jesus Christ said, if you will make a choice to die, die to what? Die to your dreams, die to your plans, die to your ambitions, die to your goals. If my people who are called by my name will choose to deny and die to the life they've made for themselves, he said they'll bring forth much fruit. You've got to come to that place. Mark 8:35, whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Paul said something like this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Present, yield, dedicated, totally given over to God in every single way, for then and only then will you be able to do what God tells you to do in the book. That went over well. It's the truth. I'm telling you, folks, just as man cannot get saved any way he chooses, you cannot live for Christ, do the will of God, or glorify God any way you choose. And many of God's people have missed it. Most of God's people, let's say a majority, 7,000 have not bowed the knee, but a majority of God's people are not even in fellowship with Him. And they don't even know it. They've been deceived for years. Folks, I'm not trying to take something away from you. Don't you see, I'm trying to lead you to something that's wonderful. Amen. Deciding a decision to walk with God is a path that's wonderful. But it requires obedience. Obedience is not a feeling. Obedience is a decision. And as you walk with Him in the in His presence, not practicing in His presence, I shared with you that the last time I was here, that practice His presence. You folks remember? Oh, that's old school now. Oh, man. Who wants to practice the presence of God when you can live in His within His presence? Do you know what it is to live in the presence of God and have your heart burn within as He reveals Himself to you? Now, with that comes great responsibility. Too much is given, much is... That's right. You got to straighten up, live right, a godly life when in His presence. Titus 2:12, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Now, not a decade from now, in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, you may not want that. I've been shocked. Remember when you got saved? You remember when you got saved? My November 22nd, 87, at the age of 30. Man, guilt all gone. I was so excited. I couldn't wait to tell everybody. You know how that went, don't you? Well, they did not want what I had. All my friends began to, man, whoa, you a Jesus freak, and da-da-da, and this, that, and the other. And, man, they just kind of would fall away, you know. And now it's the same thing with God's people. It's amazing. I come and share with you. I don't have a lot of time, but I've got a few minutes to share with you how you can walk with God by His side, as His friend, as His companion. Have your heart run within as He reveals Himself to you, talking about the Creator, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and people try to vacate the premises. I didn't see that one coming. I really didn't. Duh. I really thought people wanted to know. Okay, here's the problem. We're not in the instruction manual. How many of you folks, before you turned your cell phone on, you read the instruction manual? Okay, still 100%. I've yet to find anybody who read the instruction manual before they turned the cell phone on. Now, did you read the instruction manual after you turned the cell phone on? Got one? Got two? Three or four? What are you saying? You've got to spend quality time in His Word, feeding the new nature that you have. You want to walk with God? You want to know how God thinks? You want things to change? So change begins at a new birth. You've got to see yourself a sinner in need of a Savior. Receive the Lord. Change begins there. But change continues as you yield to His Word and the Holy Spirit of God indwelling you. There is no plan B. And so, this is His Psalm 32, verse 8, I'll instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So let me ask you something. Are you a good man? Oh, there's none good, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. No. Let me ask, are you a Christian? Are you clothed in Christ's righteousness? See, Christ took upon Himself our sins. He died in our place. When we received Him, He transferred to us His very righteousness. I didn't have to work for it. No. Something God did. Okay. The Christian to have... No, well, let's go there. Psalm 37, verse 20, the steps of a good Christian are ordered by Christ. You got that, right? And if you were a good Christian, that's what you are, right? You call yourself a Christian. I hope you do. If not, we need to talk. Then you would let God order your steps. And when God gave you a marching order, then you would discipline yourself to obey Him. Right or wrong? Okay, did that take a decade to get? Okay. So now we go back. Stop your complaining. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is, well, out of fellowship. Right? That's right. We could say out of fellowship, no harm. So where are you going? Folks, this is Christianity nursery. I know it goes over great, don't it? Most of God's people are content to be in the nursery. They've been in the nursery for decades. And they come and tell me that. I like the nursery. It's comfortable in the nursery. I don't want to get out of the nursery. Why would you say that? Folks, I did not get that. I can't comprehend that. Why would you want to spend decades in the nursery running around, and never growing to spiritual maturity? Paul wanted to be perfect. Philippians chapter 3, right? The man literally wanted to be perfect. He wanted to be spiritually mature, fully grown, fully developed. But I have found that most of God's people are content with what they get along the way, you know, here a little, there a little. But I hope you want something different than that. Remember, I'm not trying to take something away from you. I'm trying to lead you to something that's wonderful, right? This is a good thing. No chastening for the present, say that be joyous. Stop your complaining. Never told you something you could not do. Turn off the old sin nature that you have, that you were born with. Do you know why he did not take the old sin nature that you have, that you were born with, away completely? Have you ever thought about that? Anything too hard for God?
No.
Chapter and verse. Say, get in the book. Jeremiah 32, verse 27, behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Norm? Yes, sir. Is there anything too hard for me? Yeah. No. Why don't you live like it? Oh, man. Okay, so why didn't he take it away? Can you tell me? Say, can you tell me why he... Well, let me tell you what he did do. I think this is... I won't get to that. Maybe tomorrow I'll go in more in depth. I'm still here, right? Okay. Now we're figuring out, well, we're going to learn something. It don't take you a decade to get it, okay? I didn't know you're supposed to be baptized. But when I was confronted with truth, I made a decision, and then I was baptized. When I was confronted with truth, stop your complaining, made a decision, disciplined myself to do what I decided, and depend upon God to accomplish that in my life, because Philippians 4:13 says I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me, literally, through Christ who keeps on giving strength. Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. You got the same thing. Maybe you just did not know. Okay, where are you going with all that?
I have no clue.
Okay, I'm trying to get you to know me. The old sin nature that you have, that you're born with, why did he leave it here? Why didn't he just take it away completely? Well, here's what Christ did for you. When he saved you at 8:5:30, he did something no other friend can do. See, he reached over and unplugged the sin nature. He didn't take it away. Why? Been too easy. Too easy. It'd been way too easy, folks. You know why he left the old sin nature that you have, that you were born with? To build character. You did not know, did you? Okay, now with this new knowledge, take it to the next level, folks. You don't have to complain. You don't have to sin. You don't have to you don't have to do wrong. If you do, you choose to do it because Christ, when he saved you, he unplugged the sin nature so it cannot, did you get that? It cannot dominate you. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Y'all read the book, Romans, right? And he left it there to build character. 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel said to Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice. It's better to do right and obey than it is to get forgiveness for complaining. Doing wrong, you don't have to do wrong. Not preaching sinless perfection. I'm simply saying, folks, complain less. If you've got any years at all, you ought to have mastered that by now. Right? He didn't ever tell you something you could not do. Yeah, but you don't know how. I may not know how hard it is, but let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that ye should have it and the lust thereof. I didn't write it. I'm just trying to I think we have, there are folks, I believe they have kept this knowledge to themselves to keep his people in the nursery. Yeah. But folks, it's been right here all along. Maybe it is you've not been in the book to find out what you ought to be doing. This is why it's so important that you spend quality time in the Word of God every day feeding the new nature that you have. If you'll let His Word, and the devil knows that, if you'll let this Word rule and dominate your mind, you're going to learn to think right. You'll think like Christ. You'll think like God thinks, and you'll be changed. God's people will now be transformed to what they ought to be for God. The devil knows that. This is more info. The devil knows that. His will is that you might stay in the nursery. His will is that you never get it. He don't want you to grow in grace and knowledge. He wants you to stay as plain as you are. Trying that new word out, plain. Probably didn't fit. You got the gist of it, didn't you? Okay. You don't have to stay that way, okay? All right. Okay. What? So he saved me, called me to preach, stuck me in third grade English at 35. What time are we supposed to stop? You told me I could go to 7:15, 7, 4 o'clock, huh? 7 o'clock? 7:30. Yeah. Well, we'll get, it's over 7 o'clock, okay. Now, we're going to get to the good stuff now, okay? Saved me. He said, what happened to you, son? Well, I spend time, see, I met the Lord nearly 29 years ago. Well, this is my spiritual birthday, isn't it? November 22nd. Glory! I just thought that. That's my birthday today. You can add it up. I think it's 29, okay? Isn't it great? What happened? Well, I met him 29 years ago, but I met him this morning. Some people talking about meeting Christ, got to go back 15, 20 years when they were saved. And that was it. But folks, I met him this morning. I spent time in his presence. Now get it. This is going to help you. I'm not trying to hurt you. God was up all night with me on his heart. Me too. I hope you too. We say we know that, but we don't live as if it is true. See, I've been living in his presence. There's a difference. Than practicing Sunday and Wednesday and from time to time. You live in his presence if you want to. And it's a wonderful thing. Amen. But it requires a lot. And so he was up all night, and I say with me on his heart and mind. Isn't that wonderful? Now, we say God can be with us here in this building and be with his people all over the face of the earth all at the same time. right? You believe that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Christ in the room, we believe that. He's at Walmart too, we believe that. Oh, say, see how much you've learned already? Paul said, continue in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And so you, that's your spiritual toolbox, your weapons, your box, you see. You begin to put all of this stuff in as you go each day, as you walk with him by his side, as his friend, as his companion. He speaks to you through his word, through this word of God. We'll obey him. Use this in, as we move forward in our spiritual growth. You haven't been in a classroom ever since he saved you. Why did he see the purpose of God's working in mankind is not simply to save you from hell. The purpose of God's working in mankind is to make it possible for you to glorify and magnify Christ.
Amen.
That's why he saved you. The purpose of God is the purpose of God meant were, but he saved you so that you could walk with him by his side as his friend, that you might get to know him. And knowing this, so they unplug the old sin nature that we had so it cannot dominate us. Now we can plug him back in. You don't have to sin. You didn't want to. So there goes some more knowledge. And so where are we going? Let's go to Proverbs 25:28 with the time that we have left. I'll get to know you better. You'll get to know me. Take me like a 9-year-old. It's only going to get worse. This was nothing. That was just little tidbits, getting to know me so you don't turn me off like the bad TV program. Now it's going to get worse. Y'all coming back tomorrow, right? I asked that in church about 2 weeks ago. Pastor, wife, 4 kids, and 1 member. The rest, they didn't show up. Run 29 off. Wasn't that great? I didn't even try. I honestly thought they're going to be there. Isn't that sad? I said, Pastor, we're going to have to pull out chairs. Only 1 member showed up. I was surprised. But anyway, those who come to church tomorrow night will come to church because they've made a decision. Because the devil don't want you here tomorrow night.
That's right.
You should know that. The devil does not want you under the preaching, teaching, or personal reading of the book. He knows that he can keep you from the personal, the preaching, teaching, personal reading of that book. He got you. Yeah. So Proverbs 25:28, he that hath no rule, the Christian hath no rule over his own spirit. God said, my children are like cities that are broken down and without walls. In other words, you're an easy mark for the devil. An easy mark. You drift toward the world and worldly pleasures. Very little resistance. Because you have no walls. And so in Judges chapter 15, verse 16, I know that's the Old Testament, some people were looking for a place to wiggle. Now we can use that. All scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It is profitable for doctrine. Tells you what to believe. Profitable for reproof. Tells you when you're wrong. Profitable for correction. Tells us how to get right. Profitable for instruction in righteousness. Now it tells the child of God how to stay right, that he may be spiritually mature, thoroughly furnished in all good works. And so, Judges 15, verse 16, so, in other words, that's written for our admonition. We don't have to make the same mistake they made. These folks had made some awful mistakes, right? I've made some awful mistakes. I've rebelled and I've sinned and I've disobeyed God. I'm still here. Praise God. Well, I use 1 John 1:9, don't you? If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But here's the man, Samson, you know this man, Samson, who took a jaw of an ass and slew 1,000 men. Yet, he could not control his own carnal lust. Man had a problem, right? Do you know what it says in Galatians? You know what it says in your instruction manual, Galatians 5:24? I got this decades ago. Those that are saved. Well, that's me. It don't say that, well, those that are Christ. That's what it says, word for word. Those that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Too bad he did not know that. wasn't written it, right? he did not know. But folks, we got it. Those that are saved have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So we've got to find out, what are we supposed to crucify? Folks, anything you love more than you love Christ is a lust of the flesh. Amen. You need to get a hold of that. Anything you love more than you love Christ is a desire of the flesh. Anything you love more than you love Christ is an affection of the flesh. And to the degree that you choose to yield your life to those fleshly lusts, to those fleshly desires, to those fleshly affections, the very same degree you're living the self life, opposite of the crucified life. The crucified life is the life within the Christian who determines by the grace of God. Did anybody hear me say that? You are what you are by the grace of God, right? All right, by the grace of God, I'm going to die. Glory! That was a decision. By the grace of God, Norman is going to die. Not physically, but it started with a decision. Then you discipline yourself to do what you've decided. That's die. Don't be so easily offended or hurt. You're not much of a Christian. Right? Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you walk with him? Do you live in his presence? Maybe you practice old school. Get to know him, trying to get you from here to here. Many of God's people get saved and jump up to 444 and they've missed the basics. Folks, what I am sharing with you is basic Christianity. This is basics, folks. This is not the big stuff. I haven't gotten into big stuff yet. This is still trying to get God's people out of the nursery, that they might move forward in their spiritual growth. I already made the statement, until you're totally dedicated to God, you'll never be able to do what God told you to do in the Bible. Totally given over to God in every single way so he is well pleased with you. That's a decision. Once you make the decision, he's not going to do it for you. We all need wisdom, right? Well, he knows that, so you ought to just give it to us, right? I think that's fair. Just give it to us. He knows what we need. But folks, that'd be too easy. No character building there. He wants you to obey. He said, ask, it shall be. It can't be that simple, Brother Stevens. But folks, that's where we've missed it. It's so simple, we've missed it. It's available for you too. Matthew 7:7, ask, it shall be given you. He did not say it shall be given you, did he? No, he said, ask, it shall be given you. A lot of things, I'm telling you, a whole bunch of things will not be given you that you need, that God wants to give you, but will not come because you did not do it God's way. You've not followed the instructions. Remember, just as man cannot get saved in who he chooses, you can't get your prayers anyway answered any way you choose, or can't live for Christ, do the will of God, or glorify God. And that's where we've missed it in the 21st century. And people really don't want to hear it. I did not know. I did not see that one coming. I'm thankful that you let me come. I love Pastor Parrish. I count him as a dear friend, and I hope he prayed about it coming, you know. Because I have nothing to gain by lying to you. Remember, I'm trying to lead you to something that's wonderful. So here's a man who could not control his lust. He could carry a city gate on his back nearly 40 miles, but he could not resist Delilah. Pornography rampant among God's people today. Unsafe folks, yeah. You know why? They do it naturally. They still logged in 220. Their old sin nature was not unplugged. Old sin nature was unplugged when he saved us. You no longer have to be under the control. You don't have to be, you know, enshackled by pornography, alcohol, drugs, or TV. Chocolate, I usually say chocolate. That makes people really... You no longer have to be controlled by that. If you do, you choose to do it. You choose to live that way. And so he could carry a city gate almost 40 miles, but he could not resist Delilah. He could not rule himself. How much more is it true for Christians in the spiritual realm? As a Christian, you are locked into battle, folks. You are locked into battle with the devil and satanic forces. Do you know where the devil is most likely? He said, in my bedroom. No. You know where the Bible says he is most likely? I did not know it was in the book. Well, it's in here. Revelation 12, 9 or 10. Revelation 12, 10. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. You know where the devil is most likely? In the presence of God, seeking to accuse you of not living for Christ, doing the will of God or glorifying Him. You say, I did not know that. Well, don't take another decade to get it. Most likely, he's in the presence of seeking to accuse you of not doing right. So don't do those things that he can pick up and hurl in the face of Christ and thus accuse you of improper behavior. Don't do that. That starts with a decision. And so you're locked into battle with the devil and satanic forces. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's not a minor thing, folks, if you're wrestling against the devil. It's because the devil has real power, not to be ignored, not to be treated lightly. He's not the boogeyman. He's a real person, as real as anyone in his room is real. He is powerful. His will is that you might rebel against the Lord. He despises righteousness. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking the Christian he may remove off the face of the earth. Well, that's the Christians who play in the underbrush where he lives. They forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. They don't read the instruction manual. Have you met Christians like that? They plant in the underbrush where the devil lives, and he'll come out in a moment and devour them. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And that's you. And that'll make you live for Christ, do right, stay in the Word, lawful and legal. Amen. If you really get to know your enemy. And so he don't want you to live for Christ, do the will of God, glorify God. And so you're in spiritual battles. We'll just do one. What does it mean to rule your own spirit? Actually, it's already 7:20. 20 after 7. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Amen. Folks, I there's no way for me possibly now to give you 30 years and 40-minute sessions. But I'm telling you, there is so much more to the Christian life. And I admonish you to get out of the nursery. Spend quality time in this book and feed the new nature that you have. If you will let this book put all the other ones aside, you spend quality time in this book is going to make you more and more like Christ. Amen. Now, if you forsake the reading of this book for some other book, you're not going to be more and more like Christ. You may be more and more unlike Christ. Well, that goes over good in the Christian bookstore, don't it? How you got to get in this book? Amen. This is the book. Now fill it with trash or fill it with His Word. You see, that's a choice you've got to make. And I'm saying, Lord, what has made the difference in my life? I'm not that smart. Folks, at 35 years old, they stuck me in speed reading. Ambassador. I'm up to 138 words a minute. Ooh, pretty good, huh? Then they gave me a comprehension test. What's that? You don't know? I did not know. 35 years old, I'd never had a comprehension test. I said, what's that? You want me to think and read at the same time? Hey, Norman, never tried that before. Now, folks, what if I did not listen? What if I did not? She said, well, Norman, if you do this and do this and do this, who, what, when, where, and read at the same time? Man, scared me to death. I didn't know you can do that, ma'am. It's all I can do to read. Folks, they stuck me in third grade English at 35, told me I was supposed to comprehend and read at the same time, and I had never done that before. My comprehension rate was not even on the scale. I did not know. But one semester, I'm reading 500 words a minute and comprehending over 85%. I'm just simply saying it didn't take a decade to get it. And some of you folks have been deceived for years. It don't take a decade to live for Christ and do right. It starts with a decision. Whosoever will, it's a whosoever will, come after me. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. For what shall a profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man get in exchange for his soul? Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh with his Father with the holy angels. What does all that mean? I've started a new book now, the book of James. I like that book. The servant of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner arisen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. Do you know him? Do you spend quality time in the Word of God feeding to the nature that you have? You want to walk with God, the Creator? You want to get to know Him better? Well, then you've got to spend time with Him in His presence and listen to Him as He speaks to us through His Word. And folks, that's not enough. It's not? No, you've got to live a godly life in His presence. John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And as God's people choose to walk with Christ by his side as his friend, he intended that. We are to do what he says, go where he wants to go. We to discipline ourselves to obey him. And that's where we are in Christianity today. We just evidently we've missed it somewhere, folks. We're not reaching mankind with the gospel of Christ. We have ceased to be the salt and light Christ has intended us to be. The ills of society sweeping in and take over. And folks, you don't have to be that smart to get it. So what? I don't know what God talked about. Maybe stop your complaining. Wouldn't that be a good one? Wouldn't that be good? Great, right? Okay, I told you he was... Okay, I am done. Let me share this. Forget everything else, okay? Remember I said he was up all night with me on his heart and mind? Well, he had you on his heart and mind too, okay? Now, he's up all night while we sleep, okay? We're sleeping. He's up in on his throne, and he's going through, yep, John and Sally. And he's got a sense of humor. Did you know he has a sense of humor? Oh, he does. And so he's on his throne, and he said, wow, what can I do for my people? This is the day. I'm going to make a special. This is the day I'm going to make. Now, I want my people to rejoice and be glad in it. They're going to go through it. Folks, we're going to go through it tomorrow, right? Yes or no? Lord willing, we're going to be alive in this And maybe he won't go home. Maybe he'll come back today. I don't know when. But if not, we're going to go through tomorrow. We all got 24/7, right? Tomorrow, we're going to go through it. Now, you can go through it sour, like a sour grape. Or you can go through it with a smile on your face. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. All things work together for good to them that love God. Why did you hide his word in your heart? That's right, that you might walk in fellowship with him. That's why he did that. You hide your word in your heart, obedient to it, that you might walk in fellowship with the Master. Not just time to time, but I'm talking about 24/7, 365, 66. Keep a short account of sin. You don't wait to go to bed at night. Now, folks, this is the normal Christian life I'm describing here. Really? Yes, this is not something fantastic and out of the ordinary. Maybe it is out of the ordinary, but this is what Christ intended for us. Now, I don't know where you are in that, but this is what he intended, and not decades to get. You've already learned a lot if you're listening. He was up all night with you on his heart and mind. This is the day the Lord hath made. Rejoice and be glad in it. And he puts 14 inches of snow on the ground. Wouldn't it be great? Well, let me ask you something. You ever made a mistake? Has God ever made a mistake? He ever owed you an apology? So he puts 14 inches of snow on the ground. You get up out of fellowship. Oh, what a lousy day. Folks, I choose to live a different sort of walk. Huh. It's a decision. Who lives in me? Who lives in me? Christ, right? And the person of the Holy Spirit. You know what I do? I said, you're going to go to work. I put Jesus to work, man. He put it on the ground. He can pick it up. Did you get it? Hey, that's going to help you. Don't ever forget it. Did that take a decade to get? Okay, what are you going to do with it? You going to let his word abide in you, or are you going to let go in one ear and right out the other? That's what he said, verse 7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. Christ said, if my people let his word abide in them. Now, letting his word abide in you is taking the truths you've learned tonight. You say, I can't get them all. Well, get the tape. Go over it again. And if you go over it again and over it again and over it again, and 15 years from today, you're going over it again, then are you letting his word abide in you? Maybe that's the problem. You've never let his word abide in you. And folks, that's not enough. That's when verse 10, if you keep it, you let the word of God in, then you need to be obedient to it. So I hope you don't forget that. If he puts 14 inches on the ground tomorrow, I had nothing to do with it, okay? You just put in the work. Let him shovel his little heart out. Just let him shove. Okay, I'm done. Let's all stand. Maybe you need to make a decision. Maybe ask for wisdom. Maybe you are right with God in fellowship with him. Are you? If not, good thing to come. Come kneel down, say, God, you're right, I'm wrong. I don't walk with you by your side as your friend. I don't read the word of God like I should. I don't pray like I should. I certainly don't. But you can come as they got something picked out, I'm sure, and God spoke to your heart. This is what revival is all about, folks. Revival. You know what revival is? A renewed obedience to God. That's all it is. It's you making the decision, I'm going to obey God. And I'm not always sure what's right. Well, that's why he gave you instructions. It's right here. What you need to do is say, God, I need to get in the book. So why don't you come? Kneel down, talk with him. But you know what? There will be very few that I ask for help. Right? Okay, let's let the play. Maybe you need a salvation. Maybe you've never experienced a new birth, and maybe we can talk. No chastening going on? We need to talk. You're not that good. But maybe you need to come, whatever God spoke to you about. Once you come, as we sing, or how do y'all do it here? Just go ahead and play. Yeah, come on. Ladies and gentlemen, come on. This is for you. If you thought God would give you something, you'd ask, wouldn't you?